Good morning and welcome back to another episode of Not Your Average Cheerleader. It is early, y'all. Oh my gosh. Welcome to Not Your Average Cheerleader NFL podcast. I'm your host, Ashley Gibbs, and here we cover the NFL players, the game, the contracts. Man, we even cover the injuries. So I need you to sit back, relax. If you're all about the NFL, you're in the right place. I'm about to throw some commentary your way. So you know what? Go ahead and grab your coffee, grab your tea, grab your food, because we're about to get this party started. You know, we're back to another early morning of talking about football. And every single time that I sit down to do this, I don't know what it is, slightly tired. But that's probably because I didn't get much sleep yesterday. Just a number of things all over the news over the last couple days. I encourage people to not let the news bring you down. Do your best. Turn off your phones. Put them on sleep mode or personal mode. And just resonate in the moment of where you are. But let's talk about some football. Today's episode is brought to you by the coffee in my cup. I love these tumblers. I have a gold one. This tastes really good. Like, when you brew coffee, like, I see all those specialty videos, and I'm like, people love putting chocolate inside the mug when they brew their coffee, white chocolate. They just throw all kinds of different stuff in the mug to mix with the coffee as it's, like, coming out hot. And I did something different. Did the chocolate melt all the way when I was brewing it? No. I had to use this little, like, spinner mix thing that you can get from the store, and that kind of finished it up. Put it in the fridge overnight, let it get cold. The next morning, I had it over some ice, caramel drizzle around the rim, and I realized I created something phenomenal. But that's my coffee connoisseur moment. You already know what you're dealing with when you come over here with me. I drink a lot of coffee. I'm not ashamed of it. It helps me get through my day. So let's talk a little bit about some football. I have some scores here for you. Week 13 just passed. I know it's officially a Wednesday morning. Y'all are like, Ashley, I thought your episode was posted on Tuesday. Give me a break. I'm kind of glad I waited for Tuesday past because there was some updated news on some injury reports and some new signings. So we're going to get into it all and just touch base on every topic. And I won't hold you guys. I won't. You're like, hey, I listen to this on the way to work. I listen to this as I'm getting prepared to sit down at my desk. I listen to this wherever you listen to. I appreciate you. I try not to run too long. That's neither here nor there. I feel like sometimes that works, sometimes it doesn't work, like at all. But you had some phenomenal games that happened over the weekend. Week 13, you had the Colts versus the Cowboys. Yeah, that score. Jeez, goodness gracious, Cowboys beat the Colts 54-19. That's just embarrassing. Chiefs versus the Bengals. The Chiefs lost again to the Bengals. Jeff Burrow reminded them of who's in charge, 27-24. Dolphins versus the 49ers. We're going to get into what that game looked like in a second. But as you know, the 49ers came out on top 33-17 against the Dolphins. Browns versus the Texans. Deshaun Watson was on the field. We're going to get into that in a second as well. And the Browns actually defeated the Texans 27-14. The Packers versus the Bears. We weren't sure if Aaron Rodgers still owned the Bears. You remember last year when he beat the Bears, he like turned to the stands and said, I own you. I think there was a literal sense to that. I don't know if he like owns part of the stadium or part of the team, but I think that's not figuratively. I think also that's literal. Like he owns a piece of something that's like that the Bears play on or something like that. I don't know all the details. Tell you what, I'll look it up and get an answer for you. But the Packers did defeat the Bears. I guess Aaron Rodgers still owns them. He didn't say that this time, but we were all reminded of it. 28-19. Excuse me, the Eagles versus the Titans. I can't read my own handwriting. The Eagles versus the Titans. 39-10. Is it 39-10 or 35? 35-10. My bad. Told you I can't read my own handwriting. And then you have the Broncos versus the Ravens. Broncos lost. I don't know how Lamar got injured. We're going to get into that game in a second too. And the Ravens still won 10-9. Anywho, let's get into some of these games. We're going to tackle the injury report at the same time, and then I'm going to dive deeper into some of these topics. But let's kind of start with the Broncos versus the Ravens. That was not a spectacular game. I felt like we were playing, the Ravens were known to blow a lead halfway through the game. They're like, okay, can the Ravens hold a lead? It seems like they were winning around the fourth quarter, and somehow the other team comes back and takes over things, and you're like, what is going on? Unfortunately, Lamar Jackson suffered a knee injury. You can't see me, I'm using my quotation marks again. And I said it as I think it was like, it's not a fracture. I think it's like a sprain, a knee sprain is what I've heard. Apparently, the head coach Harbaugh later reported that it's week to week. Basically, it's like, you know, heads or tails if Lamar is going to play on Sunday. So if he's on your fantasy football, you're going to have to pay very close attention. You may not know to the last minute whether he's going to step on the field. Backup had to come in and finish running the game. Russell Wilson does what Russell Wilson does, which is not win. You have Lamar Jackson now who's touch and go. So the question that I had, right, was what does this mean for what does this mean for Lamar Jackson's contract? Because remember, originally the Ravens offered him They offered him like $130 or $150 million. I think it was $150. And he said no. And then turned around and said he wanted $230 million guaranteed. Contract. I forgot how many years it was. I wasn't sure if it was five or what. But he said, I want $230 million guaranteed. The risk was that everyone was worried about him going out there and playing and having no set contract yet because of the risk of injury that could happen. Your value immediately goes down. I remember I heard a football player say this once, that as players, their bodies are investments, right? And if something happens physically to that investment that could risk devaluing how well you do your job, the investment value goes down. Did I just make financial sense? I feel like that was kind of a cool financial analogy this morning. This coffee's kicking in. But that's kind of how you got to look at it. So, you know, I was asking my group of friends because I'm in like a cool football chat now. And they were like, well, no, it's just a knee sprain. He'll be fine. I said, but do you think that the Ravens, they really didn't have a bargaining chip? Lamar Jackson, NFL MVP, you know, at least was able to get his team to the playoffs. Now, whether they can win a playoff game, that still remains to be seen. But for the most part, he has shown his value well over time. He was using Deshaun Watson's contract as a negotiating kind of reference. Right? This guy gets $250 million guaranteed. He hasn't even played in 1 year. Here, I've been playing. I'm MVP. I've won actual games. I deserve to be paid and guaranteed almost the same amount of money, right? That's why in the NFL world, they were like, Deshaun Watson's contract was one of the worst contracts negotiated in NFL history. One of them. I'm sure there's plenty more out there. But to guarantee someone that kind of money that you haven't really seen play. The NFL's gotten into this realm of, I'm going to invest in your potential, not what I've seen you physically do, just what I think you can do, what I believe you could do based off of these things, based off of A and B, it should be C and D. That's kind of how these teams are starting to negotiate contracts, right? So I just asked that question because I really feel like Ravens are going to use this as a little kind of back pocket negotiating measure to say, hey, you technically injured yourself. And even though it was a sprain, we don't know what your knee's going to look like, you know, moving forward. And we need a mobile quarterback. So what we're going to do is we'll offer you $180 million guaranteed. That's as high as we're going. See if any other team's willing to bet on you considering your knee injury. I think they might take that risk. I don't know. I haven't heard anything. I just asked this question because I thought another analyst asked the same question. I was like, curious. Like, dang, you went out there and played Lamar. Now you're like touch and go. Because week to week is not reliable. It'd be different if he said, oh, you know, it's just a sprain. We're going to sit him for 2 weeks. He should be good to go. But to say week to week, that really is flipping heads or tails. Like, hey, how do you feel today? You know, I'm about at a seven. Okay, heads or tails? Heads you play, tails you sit this one out. Like, I really feel like that. that's the energy the comment of week to week plays in my mind. Because I feel like if you can't say for certain whether you could play or not, then you probably shouldn't be playing. But that's just me. But yep, so again, if he's on your fantasy football, definitely want to pay attention because you may leave him in by accident and then he may say, oh, team may say he is not playing. They did the same thing with Matthew Stafford. As you know, the Rams lost. Lots of questions going on in Ramsland. This does not look like the past team that's won the Super Bowl. And you have Matthew Stafford, who suffered a neck injury. Originally, when the season started, it was an elbow arm injury, very, very similar to what Josh Allen was dealing with. But now it's a neck injury. He got tackled, I believe, went down, and that neck injury looks, it doesn't look good. So they placed him on IR. Injured reserve. Yes, did I get that? I hope I got that right. They placed him on the IR, and Rams did something that nobody saw coming. They drafted Baker Mayfield off of waivers. What? But when you're desperate, when you're desperate, because you know the Panthers released Baker Mayfield. I think on Monday or Tuesday they released him. They're like, hey, we don't want you part of our team anymore. They released him, so he was on waivers. Rams was like, oh my gosh, we don't really have anyone. We need him. And I think even at one point, the 49ers were looking at him, and I said, I'll be damned, we draft Baker Mayfield. I keep saying it on this podcast. Baker Mayfield, he plays like trash. Like, I'm sorry, the only reason you got a job right now is because people were desperate, and they were desperate. They needed somebody because placing Matthew Stafford on IR basically guaranteed that they didn't have a chance in the next games that they were about to play. At least with Baker Mayfield, you have a slight chance, but that depends on his football IQ and how well he can learn the new plays for another new team and get comfortable. So, you know, we'll see how that goes. I'm excited to see how that goes because that was such a quick chess move. No, that's not chess. That was such a quick checkers move. That I'm interested to see. I think the Rams at this point are just trying to salvage the rest of their season to not be the worst team in the NFL. And they're not. They're not good. So I personally think what's going to happen is if you have Matthew Stafford on your team, your fantasy football team, I would probably go ahead and remove him. He's on IR. He probably won't come off. They said this could be his season. He's probably getting x-rays. Remember, Peyton Manning suffered with a lot of neck injury towards the end of his career. And he even had to get surgery, I think, twice on his neck. And the neck is, like any other part of the body, even more delicate because it's how you rotate your head, you know, how you're able to see, you get tackled wrong. There's just so much things that can happen. So, again, we wish everyone who's injured or every guy who's injured in this aggressive game, swift recovery, a strong recovery, that you come back stronger than what you did when you went down. But yeah, Rams got Baker Mayfield. Hey, you know what you can do for your fantasy football? You could pick up Baker Mayfield. Y'all don't take me seriously on this, do you? I wouldn't either. Not early in the morning. Not when I haven't finished my coffee. You could totally go pick up Baker Mayfield. You know he's going to play, right? There's no question about that. That's sad. How you get released by the Carolina Panthers who really didn't have anybody but Sam Darnold? Wow. That's embarrassing. All right, now let's kind of go back. Let's visit the, let's talk first about the Dallas Cowboys win, right? Was the Dallas Cowboys win really a win? That is a $1 million question. They defeated the Colts 54-19. Now, I know initially you look at that score and you're going to say, well, actually, that's phenomenal, 54-19. Oh my gosh, the Cowboys are in the conversation. Dak Prescott should be in the top five quarterbacks. Slow your roll. Calm down. Let's take a breath. Let's take a step back. I always say there's a couple things I look at when a team defeats somebody, right? I look at who their opponent is. And then I look at all the other parameters. Because who you're playing is just as important as your win itself. I know some people, a win is a win. Like, duh. But who you're playing is still just as important as a score itself, how well the rest of the players played. And to be fair, they didn't start scoring half those 90% of those 54 points till late in the second half. That means they played like, honestly, trash against the Colts, and the Colts play like trash. We won't even get into that. Matt Ryan just throwing all kinds of picks. It's like his accuracy is just completely off. But it was just basically a back and forth until the later part of the second half. And to be fair, I don't know why. So people hype up Dak Prescott like he's the second coming of Christ. I swear, they just hype him up all the time. And I'm like, no, slow your roll, calm down. Dak Prescott really, in my personal opinion, has not shown anything truly special as a QB. I've seen other QBs go out there and do some crazy things. We'll get to one in a moment that we super impressed with. But you gotta think about it from the perspective of, like, when you played like trash 90% of the game and then waited till the very end to say, oh, now we're going to play because Colts defense wasn't doing anything. You see the fantasy football points, it was like 3. Did I lose in my match? Yes, I did. I lost by like 3 points, but that's not why. When I saw the defense, I was like, oh yeah, I got you defense, hands down, because I have the 49ers defense on my fantasy football team. If you don't learn to draft the 49ers defense, you're already struggling. That's a top 3 defense. I'm proud of myself. If nothing else, that is the one draft that I made next to Travis Kelce that I'm proud of. But I didn't hype up this win because, one, it was against the Colts. Jeff Saturday, who is the interim head coach for the Colts, is probably questioning things for himself. He already had a previous game where mismanagement of the clock cost him the game. This is when experience as a head coach comes into play. Experience does play a role in football. When you have inexperienced people up there, let's just say they call me the head coach, right? Yeah, you can motivate the team. You can have the guys feel good about themselves. But I don't know how to manage a clock. I don't know what calls to make when it's down to the wire. And everybody's like, you should call a timeout. Wait, I should use a timeout right now. Are you sure? Like, they'll be like, she doesn't know what she's doing. That can cost your team the game. That's what happened to Jeff Saturday in week 12. Week 13, now you got your tail beat by the Dallas Cowboys, who basically toyed with you the first 3 quarters of the game and then said, now we're going to finally play some football. Even CeeDee Lamb didn't have as many catches as we thought they were going to have. But Dak Prescott, all of them played, in my opinion, average. I'm just impressed by the score. The amount of points you can put up is just crazy to me, because what that means is the defense let you run up and down that field like you were playing in your local neighborhood and was not stopping that ball. That is the only reason why they got to 54 points. The Colts didn't show up. I keep saying, if you put the Dallas Cowboys against a phenomenal team like the Eagles right now, that would be a tougher game for them. I would be more impressed with that win than I did with this win. That's my 2 cents. You can say whatever you want. I just feel like the teams that the Dallas Cowboys are winning against, because they have the easiest division, if I'm not mistaken, the teams the Dallas Cowboys are winning against aren't hard. That's probably why every time they get to the playoffs, if they do make it to the playoffs, they lose, because now you're playing against really good teams and they know exactly what to do to get one over on you. Hence the Buccaneers game. So they'll probably say it was a win. But if you look at Matt Ryan's QBR and Dak Prescott's QBR, I'm not going to look at it. You can go look it up. This is what happens when I don't have all my coffee. Just know that Matt Ryan, who threw multiple picks in that game, that threw 2 interceptions, but who threw multiple picks in that game, Matt Ryan's QBR ended higher than Dak Prescott's QBR. And that's because the Colts played relatively well the first half of the game. Matt Ryan was throwing some darts, had some great passes, and that's probably why. And Dak Prescott wasn't playing that well until the very end of the game. I don't know. I just felt like that was an interesting fact, that the losing team by a lot had a higher QBR for their quarterback than the one that won by 54 points. You do what you want with that information. Now, I know I'm going to get some flack for this because there's a lot of Dallas Cowboy fans out there. Don't get me wrong. I want to see y'all do well. That's my sister's team. That's my friend's team. That's some of my colleagues' team. They love them some Dallas Cowboys, America's team. Like, don't get me wrong. I understand. I agree with y'all to some extent, but you have to look at who you're playing, and you can't do anything about your division. This is your division, but I think if the Dallas Cowboys are really going to prove to us this season that they are who they say they are, going longer in the playoffs is going to get you a long way with some clout. That's me again, because I don't ever, there's still a lot of football left to play. I don't ever get super hyped because these teams do so well and then they get in the playoffs and they look like they don't know how to play football anymore. It's like how you have a 10-2, 11-3, 12-1, 13-1 or 13-0 record and then get to the playoffs and then act like you don't know how to play football anymore. That's what happened to the Dallas Cowboys last year. So everybody hype up this win, but don't forget to look, in this case, I would look at the stats because it tells a different story than the game we just watched the Dallas Cowboys run through the Colts. It's the Colts. I don't know what y'all thought. I would have been more embarrassed when they lost that game. It's the Colts. Come on now. Ever since Matt Ryan went over there, I bet you they thought they were getting something real special too. I bet you they did. And Matt Ryan really has not played good since he set foot over there. He just hasn't. And you have to think about it. So there's still rumor mills about OBJ. I was holding off doing this episode because I was hoping to have an actual answer about OBJ. And they're like, oh, the end of the week. Well, you said right after Thanksgiving, then that didn't happen. Then there's speculation. I'm using my quotation marks again. Allegedly, Jerry Jones is not going to pay OBJ, which means they're changing their mind about drafting him. I guess they don't see all these teams lined up to give him a ton of money. And you know, Jerry Jones, who's the owner of the Dallas Cowboys, and I think he's their GM, if I'm not mistaken. He real tight. He hold on to that purse real tight, which means he don't like paying nobody. So I mentioned that and someone said, well, they paid Dak. I said, yeah, but look how long it took them to come to a contractual decision for Dak. I know he got over $70 million. And I think they franchised him, so the contract isn't even long-term. Jerry Jones is slick with that money. Y'all better stop playing around. I didn't think he was going to really honestly pick up OBJ. Hey, there's still wiggle room. There's still time. OBJ's still on the waivers list or free agency, I believe. And anyone can still pick him up. There was a lot of teams lined up to get OBJ. I think he just left an NBA game this past week with Micah Parsons and was it Trayvon Diggs? I believe is who was with him. And everybody's like, oh my gosh, he's going to the Dallas Cowboys. I don't know. I throw my hands up. I don't know. All we can do is just kind of watch and see what happens. I know Dallas Cowboys fans are like, oh, we need OBJ. He would bring something to that team. And I would be interested. But hey, we're getting to the point we're about to hit the playoffs. The decision needs to be made yesterday, in my opinion. So stay tuned for that. NYAC will keep their eye out for that. I was really hoping to have an answer by now on where OBJ is going, and I still don't have one. Boo-hoo. Now let's get to the 49ers game, right? Well, we'll save that for last. Let's go real quick to the Texans game with Deshaun Watson, who made his debut back on the field. Yes, we can. We're going to hint at what the atmosphere was like having him back on the field on top of him being able to play. He was rusty. Like, listen, I want to see what $250 million looked like, guaranteed. What a quarter of $1 billion looked like on the field. That's what I want to see. So I watched it. Did he throw interceptions? Yes, he's rusty. He hasn't played for over a year and a half. That means you could call practices all day, but it's a different ball game when you get in there with a team that can make a slight move to read where you're going to throw the ball and completely rip you in one. Like, he threw directly to the Texans. I think he forgot he wasn't on that team anymore. And there was a little bit of booing in the stands. They even said, in referencing the cases that he went through, some of the women showed up there to sit in the stands as a form of protest. That's their right. They bought tickets, or if they got whatever means they were able to get in there, they have every right to do that. But we won't dive too deep into that. Just kind of telling you a little bit about what the atmosphere was. Shockingly, the Browns did win. Remember, the Browns still have a great offense. They were winning without Deshaun Watson. That's why I was curious as to what it's going to look like when he comes back, because they were winning at least some good, decent games without him, because they have a good running system. They have some decent, I think they even have Amari Cooper up there. They had great wide receivers. Their defense wasn't terrible. This is a team that essentially, I don't know what it's going to look like for them this season, but definitely is a team that has the potential to make playoff runs. It really does. So kind of look at, someone tweeted, one of my favorite sports analysts tweeted, this isn't alleged, I read it. Like, I was on Twitter and in real time, you're seeing these tweets happen. And he said, Deshaun Watson isn't Deshaun Watson. And I was just like, oh my gosh, what did y'all expect him to do? I didn't expect anything. My expectations were zero. When someone hasn't picked up a football in over a year and a half to play in a game, I'm not talking about you went to practice and you were in your shorts and have had pads on or no pads at all. I'm talking about you haven't played in a physical matchup game in a year and a half. No. No. But we shall see. Everybody's like, oh, he's really shown so much progress in practice. They're really trying to, I even read, and this could be allegedly, I don't know for certain. I read this on Twitter, a sports article reported this, that Adam Schefter, is it Schefter or Schefter? I want to make sure I pronounce his name right. He's like one of the top sports analysts in like, as and sports reporters in this league. Like, I feel like he knows, him and Ian Rapoport, they know where everybody, I know they got a second phone with like all the cool, the good numbers in it. Like, that's how good they are at their jobs. They said that Adam wrote a fluff piece to kind of help boost Deshaun Watson's career. Now, I'm using quotation marks. That's allegedly. I don't know if that's true or not. I haven't found anything in the media to support that claim as far as any articles that was like, oh, Deshaun Watson's debut. I haven't seen anything like that. I was on Twitter, and usually that's where you would see it in 30 seconds. But I also go to my reputable sites like ESPN and things like that, and I didn't see anything. But I also could have missed it. But you could tell they're just trying their best to, you know, not make him look so bad. But he did that all on his own. So I digress. I just wanted to talk a little bit about that game because I told y'all I was waiting because I wanted to see what $250 million looked like on the field. Guaranteed. I just want to see what it looked like. So far, it looks like trash. But they won, so can't be too bad. Can't be horrible. So let's get ready to end with one of the best games. I was so proud of my team. 49ers faithful. Dolphins. Top three offense. Their defense is not horrible. I probably put their defense in the top eight, to be honest with you. The Dolphins, 33-17, halfway through the game. I mean, the Dolphins scored on a long drive as soon as the game started. I don't know who on the 49ers defense made a wrong read, but homeboy went running, and he kept running like Forrest Gump straight into the end zone. You got to watch the replay. That was the drive, the first drive of the game from the Miami Dolphins. I was like, if this is what I have to expect, we're going to get our tails destroyed, right? In my opinion, the 49ers have more to prove because everybody keeps wiping over their wins. They just mediocrely talk about the 49ers. And I really have this gut feeling, which is very rare with football, in a sense of choosing teams, about my own team. I have this gut feeling the 49ers are going to be that team that's going to be there in the end, and they're going to be like, oh my gosh, the 49ers play so well. They're going to change their story so fast on those sports radios and sports analysts. They're going to change it. Here they have everybody, oh, I don't know, I need to see them win more. If they beat the Miami Dolphins, then I'll give them credit. That wasn't even a storyline after. They beat the Miami Dolphins because, again, dynamite defense. Jimmy G goes down halfway through the game. Apparently, at first, they believed it was a broken foot. Later, we found out it was just reported, I believe, yesterday. Today's Wednesday, so yesterday, Tuesday, that it's not broken. He will not need surgery, and he could be back in time for the playoffs. That's what I read. So right now, was it Brock Purdy? I want to make sure I get these names right. I'm trying to remember names. I know his last name is Purdy. He comes off the bench. I'm sitting here watching the game. I'm like, oh my gosh, this rookie's coming off. Now, the way that the announcers read off his resume, it gave you no hope. That's, I swear, you had no hope as a 49ers fan. They made him sound like the little kid that is at the end of the bench that, you know, is just chewing gum, staring off into space. And the coach comes down there and says, hey, you're in. And he's like, what? Oh my God, where's my helmet? I got to go in. That's how they made him sound. Please go back and watch the highlights for that game. And when he goes in, they're like, oh, yeah, this kid's never really touched the football. He was drafted very last in the NFL draft. Yeah, so we don't know what to expect from Purdy. He goes out there and throws two touchdowns. He's mobile in the pocket. He's sending off darts. I mean, the kid was able to salvage and build upon what was already done. And I think that everybody's like, well, can the 49ers go all the way with Purdy? When we had Jimmy G, the answer was sure. I think, to be fair, if Purdy goes in there and plays regular, don't try to be no hero, plays basic football, this is not a heavy quarterback-centric team. This is a team that relies on the run game more than anything and relies on their defense to shut the other team down from scoring, allowing them to create that window of scoring and winning games. It's a very unique strategy that I like to see. They make it work for them, right? Right. I don't see anything special from Jimmy G. I swear. Alongside Dak Prescott, y'all think Jimmy G is the second coming of Christ. I swear you do. You think he's coming back. He's here to smile. That's a good looking man. I'm not going to lie to you. Because I see that too. I see all the pose and everything. But what special has Jimmy G shown us that makes him stand out as a quarterback? I feel like even if he got traded to another team, the contract negotiation wouldn't be high. He is injury prone, unfortunately. Like between his shoulder, his ankle, like he's had so many injuries just over the last 3 years alone that, again, that value has trickled down. Not to mention, they'll say, oh, well, he went to the Super Bowl. That was during a run game. No one remembers during that Super Bowl face-off against Kansas City. No one remembers that George Kittle got on the camera and said, if they can't stop the run game, we're going to keep running the ball. The reason why we lost that game is, what did Jimmy G do? What he always does. He throws a pick. He's not accurate with those passes that need to be done. Like you see Tom Brady or Aaron Rodgers make that they're comfortable making and they're relying on their wide receiver to just get open. I'm going to put the ball physically in your hands. Just get open. Create separation. Get open. And I'm going to put it in your hands. I've seen already a few times, as much as I'm not the biggest fan of Aaron Rodgers, I've seen him put the ball physically in a wide receiver's hands and a wide receiver drops it. This is not a throw-heavy team. This is a run-game-based team. Why do you think they drafted Christian McCaffrey? They spent that money to bring him over there to give them some more leeway with running, because that's how we were using Deebo Samuel. Not to mention if we have Christian McCaffrey and I believe, is it Mitchell back there? So many options. I think Purdy will be just fine. I think everybody's writing off just what he did alone. I said, if he was trash, we would have known that the second he stepped in the game. Beathard was trash. He was unreliable. He threw one good pass and after that threw picks. Same thing with what's his name. Like, if Purdy was 100% trash, we would have saw that immediately. There's no doubt about it, especially against this defense. I'm going to give him another game. We're going to watch and see what happens. But I think if the 49ers can keep it simple with their offense, keep doing what they're doing, make some really great plays, they can still go further than people anticipate them to. Like, people count them out every single time. It gets on my nerves. And then we're calling him Mr. Irrelevant, right? I remember one of my other favorite sports analysts, I follow like all of them on Twitter because they're so funny. And one of my favorite sports analysts was like, oh, Mr. Irrelevant. And I went back and responded, that's Mr. Relevant to you now. Like, that was after we won. And I just look at, like, this message is for Purdy, who is now officially announced as the starting quarterback for the 49ers. Listen to me. They counted you out, Purdy. They're calling you Mr. Irrelevant. If it was me, I would be in that book on the tablet, reading all the plays, increasing my football IQ, going harder in practice than anybody else. And then when I am in the playoffs at the Super Bowl, I'm going to sit down with the analyst person and say, they call me Mr. Irrelevant the second I stepped in a game. I hope they realize that that name doesn't fit anymore. That's just me. That's the message for you, Purdy. You got this. Remember what they call you. And let that be your motivation every time you get ready to play. You're going to make mistakes. You're a rookie. Everybody's like, he's a rookie. He doesn't know how to do anything. Every major great player started as a rookie. Tom Brady was a rookie. Aaron Rodgers was a rookie. Everybody that you see, Patrick Mahomes was a rookie. All these people were rookies that went out there and played phenomenal games that gave them their starting job position. And even now, renowned as the GOAT for Tom Brady, the greatest of all time. So don't let them count you out, Purdy. That's all I got to say. They call you Mr. Irrelevant. You're relevant now, which means we're watching you. Make sure that name sticks. Now, to finally close out, I'm not going to make any game predictions right now. I'll probably do that on my website. So don't forget to go visit www.notyouraveragecheerleader.com for more information, some fun game predictions, and any other updates that may happen before my next episode. And don't forget to like and subscribe. If you're still here after 35 minutes of me talking, don't forget to subscribe. But I close out with, am I a fan of Tom Brady? Yes. Did Tom Brady disappoint me this weekend? Yes. In fantasy football, not in actual football. Fantasy football. Because he waited till last minute to want to score points. And it wasn't enough. It wasn't enough. I still lost by 3 points. Which means if he had just started doing better earlier, I could have won. Right? And there's nothing worse than losing by 2 points. So that means if someone had just ran an extra couple yards, it'd be a huge difference. I had Jets players that scored better than Tom Brady. Now, Tom Brady still remains the number one clutch player in the league because they were losing that game to the Saints all the way up to the last like 3 minutes of the fourth quarter. Go watch the highlights. I'm just going to watch it just for personal entertainment again. And Tom Brady, they were like, hey, you're down by like 2 touchdowns. Tom Brady said, oh, easy, easy money. Gets up, throws darts of touchdowns, reminds everybody why he's the best. I don't think we'll ever see another Tom Brady in his lifetime. I honestly still believe this might be his last season. Allegedly, I don't have any rumor mill or news for you in that. That's just my speculation. But that man will always be the clutch player in the NFL when you need touchdowns and you're down. I'm going with Tom Brady every time. I remember someone asked that question on Twitter. They were like, who would you pick if you're a fourth quarter down by a touchdown and you only got like a minute or so left on the clock? Even 30 seconds on the clock in a fourth quarter is still too long for Tom Brady. He will work that clock. And to be fair, the Saints made a mistake. Their passer, instead of running to get the first down and running down the clock, which would have gave the Buccaneers less time, he ran out of bounds, which stopped the clock. And then they struggled getting the first down. So to be fair, that was just poor reading on their part. That's the reason why they also lost that game. Anytime, it's the same thing with, what game was that? I think it was against the Packers, where the head coach kicked the ball back instead of going for it on fourth and, I think it was fourth and two. They kicked it back. And everybody's like, why didn't you go for it? This is the fourth quarter. You have fourth and two. You're going to put the ball back in Tom Brady's hands? Are you insane? So I feel like, I digress. I feel like Tom Brady, that was the best clutch play in this season for him, period. Even I think on the Bucks, best clutch play. Can't give it to him for the Patriots because he, of course, what he did in the Super Bowl. But to come back and win 17-16 with barely any minute, I mean barely, y'all go back and watch the highlights. I don't understand how he does it. He's unique. No one studies football and reads it like he does. That's it. That's it. That's a line. That's it. That's how I'm closing out. Tom Brady's the GOAT. There, I said it. I may have lost in fantasy football, but Tom Brady reminded us why he was the GOAT in real life. Thank you for joining me this morning. I appreciate every last one of you. Thank you so much for subscribing, listening to my podcast every morning. You're an inspiration to me. And I talked about my podcast journey and how my listeners inspired me as I was featured in Voyage ATL's local magazine as inspiring people. So definitely go check out that as well. That's posted on all my social media as well as www.ashleygibbs.com. But I may put up the link available somewhere. So that way, if you want to go check out that article, you can. I'm just talking about how many times I wanted to quit, even stop recording. And it was your reviews that inspired me to stay with it. So I'm so glad that you keep listening. I'll always keep talking about football. I love you all. Please have a blessed holiday. And I'll talk to y'all next week. Bye.